Nevertheless, it's good to have you live streaming in with us this morning. In James chapter 1, starting in verse number 3, the writer says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials of different kinds, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." When we look at this text and we realize what James is writing in the book of James, the book was written to be an encouragement to the Christians as they were facing persecution. And when we go throughout our lives, we are going to feel as though we are facing persecution, or we're going to be facing trials and tribulations where we look at and realize, I'm not counting these as joy in my life. The reason why James writes it to count it all joy is because when we go through these trials in our life, when we go through these seasons where we are struggling to keep looking up, he tells us that we can learn from these things, and that these situations that we go through can be a blessing to us and not a hindrance. And that we can learn from these things, and that we can continually move forward to the glorification of God. This morning's message is titled, Keep Looking Up. I want you to notice what our scripture reading was, verse number 1. Psalm chapter 123 and verse 1. He says, "To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heaven." Now, one of the things about the psalmist is that when you go throughout the book of Psalms and you read what the writer, how he refers his wording, one chapter he says, "I'm looking up to you," and the next chapter he seems as though he's down and he's having a hard time, and then the next chapter he picks himself back up. And that's kind of how our life is as well. When we go throughout our lives, we want to remind ourselves to continually look up when it's so easy to be brought and to look down. We're going to notice three different things this morning. We're going to notice, why is it difficult to look up? Why is it hard for us to continuously look up? When we go throughout this life, it is difficult to look up, especially when we feel and though we see the things going on around us, and we ask ourselves, what is there to be positive about? What is there to look up about? We're going to notice this point. We're going to notice, how do we keep looking up? And then finally, we'll notice, why do we not look up? And hopefully this morning, if we're struggling with something in our life, we can look at Scripture and the message and realize that we can continuously look up when times are hard in our life. Some of these things that we're going to have on the board this morning come to us from, I went through Google to get the top answers as, why do we have a hard time looking up? And I wanted to know. I wanted to know what was the true reason why we don't look up. Because I look at myself and I write down my own answers and I say, yeah, but no one applies. No, you know, certainly no one is feeling what I'm feeling when I realize why I'm not looking up. And when I went to Google, and this was a national survey that was done, I realized that these were more common than I thought they were. And so some of the things that we talk about this morning, I hope that you don't think I'm making light of any of these things that we talk about. This was a national survey, and I figured, well, if I'm going through it and it's a national survey, maybe someone who's streaming this morning or who is here is also going through these things. Looking down in our life conveys a totally different view than looking up. We are one of the only created beings that God created that can truly stand and look in the upright position. If you go throughout all other created beings, nothing else, animal or man, nothing else can look straight up while standing there. The dog even has to sit to look up. And when you look at this mindset, you realize, you know what, we were created to look up. We were created to constantly be looking in an upright motion. We weren't created to look down at the ground. Yes, the Bible says that our feet is going to be our path, but the light is going to guide us. And in order to see that light, we have got to look up. In our lives, we are going to look down when we feel depressed or sad or discouraged. And when we go throughout this life, things are going to happen to us, trials and tribulations and different seasons that we go through, where we are going to feel depressed about those things. And we are going to be sad about them. And we are going to be discouraged. And it's hard to keep looking up when you are depressed in life, or when you're sad in life, or when you're discouraged in life. A couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I was having a bad day. It was a real bad day. I woke up and you know, 5:30 in the morning, the phone rang with bad news, and it seemed like all day long was just a bad day. When I came to services that night, I went into the junior and senior high class, and I tried to put on the fake smile, and I tried to act like everything was okay and not show that I was having a bad day. It took about maybe 3 to 4 minutes, and one of the kids said, "Jake, what's wrong?" And they could see right through me. I came out into the auditorium, and someone walked up to me and bear hugged me. And I said, "What was that for?" And they said, "Well, you can just tell that you're just not being yourself tonight." And so sometimes in life, we may not realize that we're not looking up, but people around us can realize that we're looking down. And that's why it's important that when we go throughout this life and we are depressed or we're sad or we are discouraged, that we look up and we look to who we can get our answers to continuously keep looking up in our life. We look down in our lives when we feel as though we are worthless or ashamed. This was a common one. People in this world, and we go throughout this life and we think that we are maybe worthless or that we are ashamed, when in reality, God says, I created you to be special. You are unique. You are important. You have a purpose. There is a reason why you are here on this earth. But when we get attacked in our life with so much negative, we sometimes come across with the attitude to ourselves, whether we realize it or mean to or not, we come across with this mindset that we are worthless or ashamed. We don't have a purpose in this world. We feel as though we don't have a reason to exist. And when God says, you are called out, you are special, you are chosen, we look through God who tells us that we are made in His image. People look down in life when they are intimidated or unable to compete. You know, I think about this one. If you watch, you know, if let's say that you're playing backyard football and you have two groups of people and two captains, right? And you start picking teams. Well, when you start picking teams, who do you pick first? You want to try to stack your team up with one of the best players, right? And you can see, though, you can watch the faces of people as you get towards the end of that group of people. The faces go from smiles to frowns. Why? Because they're almost the last. And that's not to be silly or funny. It's just the way that it is. And that we realize, you know what, when we feel as though we are incompetent, or we feel as though we can't compete in something, or that we're not at the same level as others, we feel down and we look down. And we don't give ourselves the credit that is needed. And this is just part of the life that we live. But that can not only be in the sporting event, but what about in life when we feel as though we are intimidated in life? When sometimes we feel as though life is just too hard. That we feel as though we don't know where we're going from here. We're intimidated because we don't see, quote unquote, the light at the end of the tunnel. We don't see the end of the road. And we don't understand the path. We don't understand where we're going. And we feel as though we are intimidated by the unknown. People who look down are often, they look down because they feel as though they were browbeaten or hopeless. They feel as though there's no hope. They feel as though there's no light at the end of the tunnel. I don't see this ever ending. I saw a thing the other day where it says, you remember in April when the phrase, when this is over, we'll get together, you know? And it says, now we're going into October and there's no when this is over, you know? But this is the attitude. This is the mindset that we are facing. And we face this mindset because of what's going on and we become hopeless. And now, church, we do not intentionally wake up in the morning and say, I'm a hopeless being. But we go throughout our lives with a negative feed, and we go throughout our lives without looking to God for strength and for counsel and for understanding. And by doing that, by not going to God and looking up, we become, by looking down and being hopeless. And we put on this persona. Notice what the writer says, O Lord, in the morning. O Lord, in the morning. First thing when I wake up and I rise up out of bed, in the morning will I direct my prayer to you and I will look up. I will look up. Oftentimes we have a choice. When we wake up in the morning, we ask ourselves, how can we keep looking up? Well, we have a choice when we wake up, don't we? When we wake up, do we wake up in a happy mood or in a bad mood? Or do we wake up praising God in prayer and thank you, Lord, for letting me be awake and the path that I'm about to take? Or how do we wake up? The psalmist says, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer to you first thing in the morning, and I will look up. These are some of them top phrases as to why people are discouraged in this life. These are the top Google answers as to why people are discouraged. I'm trying to look up, but I just can't. I'm trying to look up. This life that I'm going through, I'm trying to continuously look up and I'm trying to move forward, but I can't. I take two steps forward and I get pushed back one. This is the feeling that I have in my life. Or maybe it's innumerable evils have surrounded me and my sins have overtaken me. The demons that are in my life have taken a hold of me. And I don't mean, you know, when they're saying demons here, this is referring to addictions or struggles that a person is facing in their lives. That those things that they are struggling with and their addictions, whatever the case may be, has taken over them to where they can't look up, to where they feel as though they are stuck where they're at. Every time I try to look up, things push me down again. The two steps forward, the one steps back. My job, my kids, my spouse, my siblings, my boss, my teacher, my friends, my bad luck. All these things are continuously stopping me from looking up. And these were the top answers that were going on in the world in which we live. These were the top things. But I want you to notice something. Notice what David writes. When he writes that, "I will look up to you," he also writes this phrase here. "For innumerable evils have encompassed me about." What did we just notice Google's top answer was? "Innumerable evils have overtaken me. My sins have taken a hold of me." The same thing that Google just said a moment ago. "So that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me." I don't find it a coincidence that things that David writes about in the Psalms is the same thing that 2020 people are, that we are still facing today. And David writes these words and he says, "I'm having a hard time looking up. I'm having a hard time being able to continuously look up because these things that are going around in my sins and these demons and the evils are overtaking me." Notice with me Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. This is where Jesus calms the storm. In verse number 35, he says, "On that day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let's go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took them in the boat just as he was, and the boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Jesus, he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him, and they said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who is this man? Who is this that even the wind and the seas obey him?'" In life, when we are going through these times in our lives where we feel down, in life, when the winds are controlling our path, we have got to give the hand to Jesus. We have got to give our hand over to Jesus. We are going to feel as though, like the James even writer says, he says that if you are a lukewarm person or if you are hot and cold and you are going through this life without looking up to God, he says you are like a boat that is in the wind, in the waves, and you have no oars, you have no motor, you have no steering wheel. What does that mean? It means that those waves are just tossing you to and fro. You are at the control of the waves. He says, but when you give it to God and you give it to Jesus and you let him control your path, he can say, "Peace, be still." And you are going to be able to walk through this life giving that over to God and letting him control your path. And so when we go throughout this life, give it over to God and put it in Jesus' hands. Notice Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. This is where Jesus walks on the water. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking towards them on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, 'Is that a ghost?' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke up and he said to them, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed a strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. And he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' When you got into the boat, the wind ceased. When they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Something I want us to notice about this story. Just like in our life, Peter's did not sink because he, his feet wasn't good enough. Or Peter didn't sink because he just... decided, "I'm going to sink. Oh, life's too hard." Peter sank because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And when we go throughout this life, the faith of Peter was not in his feet. His faith was in Jesus. But Peter decided that he was going to look down, and he got scared because he took his eyes off of Jesus. What did he do? He quit looking up. he quit looking up and he looked down. And as soon as Peter looked down, he started to sink. And Jesus said, take my hand. And notice when everything got better is when Peter reached out and took the hand of Jesus. So how do we keep looking up? How do we keep looking up in this life? Notice Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you go throughout this life, seek the things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your minds, your thoughts, set your being on things which are above, not on things that are on the earth. Don't focus on the worldly views. Don't worry about what Facebook says. Don't worry about what Google says. Don't worry about these earthly beings. What does God say about it? What does God say to do? For you then for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear to him in glory. So how do I keep looking up? I've set my mind on things which are above. I go throughout this life in prayer and through communication with God. And I go through this life seeking those things which are higher and in the heavens and not of things of here that are on the earth. And that's how I'm going to keep looking up. When times get hard in my life and I'm struggling and I don't know where to go from here or there's no light at the end of the tunnel, I continuously keep looking and setting my mind on things which are above, not on things of the earth. So why don't we keep looking up? What's the reason why we don't keep looking up? I think the picture here is pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? An arrow with the person. I want you to notice the 80-20 rule with me for a minute. The 80-20 rule is a national study that's done with Churches of Christ. Well, not just Churches of Christ, but just religious organizations, churches, all, it doesn't matter. It's called the 80-20 rule. And what this means is that 80% of people 80% of people who hear the gospel or hear what they have to do to be saved. And now when you look at this rule is applying to all different types of religious groups, but this applies to those who hear it. 80% who hear what they need to do to be saved and they don't do it, they don't do it because they cannot forgive themselves for the things that they've done in their past. 80% of people who hear the truth will not obey it because they cannot forgive themselves for the things that they've done in their past. 20% who hear what they have to do to become a Christian do not obey it because they do not believe that God can forgive them for the things that they've done in their past. I want you to think about that for a minute. What have we done in our lives that we think to ourselves, God can't forgive me for these things? What have we done to where we maybe have the mindset, I can't forgive myself for the things that we've done? When we do that, we are allowing our past to define our futures. We cannot allow our past to define our futures. We can't allow the things that we've done in our past to create the path that we go forward looking at. When we try to define our future by our past, there's no way we're going to be able to look up. There's no way. We're going to be continuously looking down, dwelling on the things which are behind. That's why Paul says, I forget the things which are behind me. I forget those things. Why? Because if Paul would have dwelt upon those things that he used to do, there's no way he would have been able to look forward. There's no way he would have been able to move forward. But he says, I forget those things which are behind. Forget about them. And I reach forward to the prize which lies ahead. Jesus tells us that if we come to him, and we obey his commandments and we obey the gospel message on what we must do to become a New Testament Christian, he says, I'm going to wipe your sins clean. You're going to be white as snow. They're not going to be remembered no more. So as far as the 20%, then that's what God tells us he's going to do, and God cannot lie. And as far as the 80% who can't forgive themselves, I want to encourage us to just let go of those things. I understand it's easier said than done, but in order to truly move forward in this life, we have got to let go of the things that we've done. Ask for forgiveness of those things and move forward to the prize which lies ahead. I want you to notice a couple of people that we're familiar with as we close this morning. These are some things that I like to look at because, church, I'm going to be honest with you, I have failed more times in my life than I can count. I have. I mean, just in business endeavors, and I feel as though I failed as sometimes a father or as a husband. I feel as though I failed as a Christian often. I feel like, You know, and these failures come into these life. But I want you to notice some of these men that are, not just men, but some of these people that we're going to notice here in a second that are worthy figures, but it helps me personally relate is that when I fail in life, it's not over for me. I want you to notice Walt Disney. We know Walt Disney as right, creator of Disney World and all these great movies and films and everything else, Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and everything else. Walt Disney was fired from the Kansas City Star in 1919 because the editor said, "You lack imagination and you have no good ideas." I want you to imagine with me for a moment, what if Walt Disney took that to heart? What if Walt Disney would have said, "Well, I have no imagination and I have no good ideas. I'm a failure. I'm going to go back to whatever he was doing." I want you to notice Elvis Presley. After a performance at the Grand Ole Opry, Elvis was told by the concert hall manager that he was better off returning to Memphis and driving trucks, which was his former career. I want you to imagine if Elvis Presley decided that he was going to listen to that manager and just give up. "Well, I tried. I'm a failure." Babe Ruth, I know Babe Ruth as home runs, but I want you to notice this with me. We probably know Babe Ruth because of his home run record, which was 714 during his career. But along with those home runs came a pretty hefty amount of strikeouts as well, 1,330 of them in total. In fact, for decades he held the record for strikeouts. When asked about this, he simply said, "Every strike brings me closer to the next home run." You know, I didn't know Babe Ruth had a strikeout record. I knew Babe Ruth as his home run record, because Babe Ruth didn't allow them strikeouts to define who he was. Babe Ruth allowed the home runs to define who he was. This is my favorite one. Michael Jordan, he's one of my favorite basketball players, and I believe that he is the greatest basketball player to ever live. And I'm glad there's no young people here today, because they would be booing me. But this is how I feel, that Michael Jordan was one of the greatest men. He said he was cut from his high school basketball team. And he once said, "I have missed over 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I have been entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I have missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed." I didn't know Michael Jordan as the one who missed 26 shots. I didn't know him as the one who, you know, missed 9,000 shots. I'm from Chicago, and I used to watch the Chicago Bulls during this era all the time. I don't remember these things. You know what I remember? I remember him winning the championships. I remember him playing when he had the flu. I remember him winning the ultimate rings, and I remember how great and he was. I don't remember all the failures that he did, all the fails, excuse me. I don't remember those things. I remember because he didn't let them things define him. He learned from them. And he let us know him as what he is today. One of my favorite quotes I believe I've ever heard, and I have it written down, and I like to say this often, and it is, "A man can fail multiple times, but he is not a failure until he gives up." And I love it. Because in this life, we are going to fail. We are going to fall down. We are going to feel as though we are discouraged and that we can't get back up. And we're going to consider that a fail over and over and over again. Maybe we feel as though we get knocked down all the time. And we say, "You know what, I just keep failing. I just keep failing. I just keep failing." But we're not a failure until we give up. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you're feeling that way, you're feeling as though that you are continuously being knocked down and that you are discouraged, and that you can't look up because the things around you are consuming you down, I want to encourage you to keep looking up, learn from the fails that you have in your life, and keep moving forward, and keep pressing towards the prize which lies ahead. This morning, maybe you have not become a Christian, and you want to give your life to Jesus, and we're ready to assist you with that. If you text the number that will be on the screen here in a moment, we'll be ready to assist you. Maybe you are listening or you're hearing, you say, "You know what, I haven't been the Christian that I need to be. I have allowed these negative things to keep me from looking up, and I've been looking down way more than I should. And today I want to change this path that I'm on, and I want to say I'm looking up to the prize which lies ahead." We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you during